Hello? Hello?
Telephones have always figured prominently in movies as a plot device, a prop, a way to generate suspense, but more often than not, a way to reach out and touch someone. But now that we're all so reachable all of the time, screenwriters have had to contrive ways of using our phones in symbolic or surprising ways, or even how to deprive us of them altogether. Freelance journalist Zachary Pincus Roth wrote about the effect that cell phones are having on movie plots in this Sunday's Los Angeles Times. Of course, back when cell phones didn't exist, Hollywood had to invent them.
In the pre-cell phone era, writers found ways to kind of envision a cell phone before there even were cell phones, like in Get Smart with the shoe phone, or James Bond has a car phone. In Woody Allen's movie Play It Again, Sam, he even sort of plays this idea that someone can be everywhere for laughs when Tony Roberts' character, everywhere he goes, he calls his office and tells them exactly where he's going to be at which phone numbers.
Let me tell you where you can reach me, George. I'll be at 362-9296 for a while. Then I'll be at 648-0024 for about 15 minutes. Then I'll be at 752-0420, and then I'll be home at 621-4598. Yeah, right, George. Bye-bye.
So there was this need in screenwriting to kind of be available to people at all times, and so they invented these cell phone-like devices before there were any.
When the cell phone finally started to appear in films in the late 1980s and the 90s, it was a novelty, and so it was a very potent prop. If a character had a cell phone, it said something about him or her.
It sort of was this big indulgence. Not that many people had them. It was only for the very rich, and so it was kind of the symbol of excess. One example is in the movie Clueless. Cher, who's this kind of spoiled teen in Southern California, played by Alicia Silverstone, she's walking through her school hall on her cell phone, and she's talking to her friend Dion.
D?
What's up?
Did you get your report card?
Yeah, I'm toast. How'd you do?
I totally choked. My father is going to go ballistic on me.
5 seconds later, you see Dion round the corner, and she's on the cell phone. And so clearly their lives are of such excess that they can have these cell phones in school.
I'll call you, okay?
Yeah.
Just so that they can talk to each other for 5 seconds before they see each other in the hallway. And another symbol of the excess in the sort of early cell phone era is in Wall Street, which was in 1987. Charlie Sheen's character, Bud Fox, is being mentored by Gordon Gekko, played by Michael Douglas, famously. And there's this one scene where Charlie Sheen's in his messy apartment. Early in the morning, he gets this call from Michael Douglas, and Michael Douglas is on his cell phone on the beach, and it's this huge cell phone, one that we would laugh at today.
Yeah. Money never sleeps, pal.
This phone is a symbol of his power, his excess, and what Charlie Sheen's character aspires to be.
Mr. Gekko, I'm there for you 110%.
I'm going to make you rich, Bud Fox.
You also observe that a lot of screenwriters are now treating the cell phone as an opportunity to advance the plot by allowing characters to be essentially in two places at once. Characters can stretch their arms miles into other people's lives and into other scenes, you know, like Plastic Man.
That's exactly right. In The Devil Wears Prada, Anne Hathaway, who plays Andy, the assistant to Miranda, is constantly being hounded by Meryl Streep's character on her cell phone. And there's this phone ring. Do-do-do-do-do.
Hello, Miranda?
My flight has been canceled.
It's kind of the phone ring that keeps occurring whenever Meryl Streep's character calls.
It's sort of like the telephonic equivalent of the Jaws motif.
Right, exactly. And so whenever you hear that in the movie, you sort of know that this woman is there to terrorize her.
This is my boss. I'm sorry, Dad, I have to take this.
And it is kind of this, you know, workplace horror film in a way. The cell phone serves as a symbol of the leash that Anne Hathaway's character is on.
If in the early days having a cell phone said something about you as a person, now it's really weird if a person doesn't have one, and that, you noted in your story, can be a big problem for filmmakers. One writer you spoke to said the ubiquity of the cell phone takes away a couple of really potent sources of conflict, the difficulty to communicate or the difficulty to call for help.
Right. There are over 250 million cell phone subscribers in the U.S., in each person's pocket is kind of an implied phone. And so you have to kind of kill the cell phone in various ways. One example is a movie that came out earlier this year, 27 Dresses, where Katherine Heigl's character and James Marsden's character are in this car. There's been some kind of sexual tension between them earlier in the movie, and they're driving on this street in the rain, and their car runs off the road and gets stuck in the mud. Usually now you would...
call AAA.
Right, call AAA on your cell phone. But there's this scene where they hold their cell phones out the window and they don't get any service.
You got anything? No.
This forces them to go to a bar nearby where they have a few drinks and start singing Benny and the Jets.
And romance ensues. It really helps when the ability to communicate is neutralized.
Right. For instance, you know, in Casablanca, Humphrey Bogart and Ingrid Bergman, they miss each other. In the flashback, they miss each other on the train platform. You know, they just pull out their cell phones and call each other. And it would be sort of this strange scene of, you know, hey, where are you? You know, oh, you left me at the train station. It would not have the kind of romance that it has in its current form.
Zachary, thank you very much.
Thank you, Brooke.
Zachary Pincus Roth is a freelance journalist based in Los Angeles. His piece about cell phones in movies is in the Sunday calendar section of the Los Angeles Times.
That's it for this week's show. On the Media was produced by Megan Ryan, Jamie York, Mike Volo, Mark Phillips, and Nazanin Rafsanjani, and edited by Brooke. We had technical direction from Jennifer Munson, engineering help from Zach Marsh, and more help from Michael Bernstein and Andy Lancet. Our webmaster is Amy Pearl.
Katya Rogers is our senior producer, and John Keefe, our executive producer. Bassist composer Ben Allison wrote our theme. You can listen to the program and find free transcripts at onthemedia.org. You can also post comments there or email us at onthemedia@wnyc.org. This is On the Media from WNYC. I'm Brooke Gladstone.
And I'm Bob Garfield.
Support for On the Media comes from the Ford Foundation, the Jane Marcher Foundation, the Overbrook Foundation, and the listeners of WNYC Radio. This is NPR.